I'm calling for order in the court, the courts of the Lord. Go, children, have a wonderful time at Kids Church. All that enthusiasm. Wow.
Okay, shall we pray? The Sunday before Thanksgiving, so much to be thankful for this wonderful country where we can worship our Lord the way we want to, with freedom. Thank you for our families, our church families, and our friends. We have so much to be thankful, Lord, every day of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to be reading today in Genesis 4:4-25. Oh, sorry, Genesis 2. I left my bulletin back at the seat. Genesis 2. Then we're starting at 2, right, or 4? 2:4-24, but now it's 2:4-25. Okay, everybody ready? This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and no shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground, but streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watered the garden, flowed from Eden. From there, it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is the Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic, resin, and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is the Gibbon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher, and the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was his name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word.
Yes, Lord, it's your word. And may it be our word, your word to us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I, as you know, missed a lot of last year because I was with my brother who was ailing, and Timothy did a lot of extra preaching. I did get here occasionally and preached, but I think for the first time since I was the only pastor here, have I done what I've done recently, which is preach 10 times in a row. Partly that's because Timothy was doing this class trip and a lot of other things. And so this is the 10th week of this series, Paths Through Proverbs. And we're going to be suspending that series until after the first of the year, so that Timothy can do his Advent series for that season. But there's still a lot of material here in Proverbs. In fact, in this series, you may have noticed, if you've been here more than once or often during this time, sometimes the lesson I read is out of Proverbs, and other times it's out of some other portion of Scripture. But trust me, we're going to be getting to Proverbs today. There's a lot of Proverbs that relate to the topic. The topic is one that is talked about a lot through Proverbs. So far, I have hit on major themes in Proverbs, like wisdom and a foolishness versus wisdom. And last week, we talked about family, specifically parents and children. I'd like, I think appropriately, this season, as we come into Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays, we're going to be talking about the home and the family in regard to men and women and marriage and a lot of aspects of what makes a solid home. And Proverbs has a lot to say about this. So I found it interesting that there are so many quotes, you know, quotable quotes. You can go online and find quotes. I found one quote site. It's called Goodreads. And under the topic of home, there were 1,184 quotes. Let me begin with number one. No, I won't take you through all those. Of course, we're familiar with home sweet home. We've all heard home is where the heart is. I found that attributed to two different people. I have no idea if either one of them is accurate, but we've most of us heard home is where the heart is. There's just a couple of others I found interesting. A house is made of walls and beams. A home is built with love and dreams. I never heard that. Pretty cool. Home is not where you live, but where they understand you. So if anybody's understanding you, that's like home. Here's just one more. Home is where somebody notices when you're no longer there. So all of us have homes. All of us had homes, maybe, that some of us are in our original homes, the children. Some of them have moved, but home really isn't a physical place. Home is a matter of the heart. It's relationship. I just want to tell you, it's Thanksgiving this week, and so just the whole idea of family strikes close to home. And I remember, I want to take a personal little detour of something that happened to me in worship today. I don't mind telling you about it. As we were, most of you know that my brother, who's only 16 months older than I, we shared a room growing up together and never became closer than in the last year when I was able to help him through his illness. And his wife is going to fly here with her caregiver, Suzette. They were here for Larry's funeral in August, and they're going to bring Suzette. Got married recently. She's bringing her two children and her husband, and they'll be here on Sunday next week. They'll be here for worship, and they're going to be with our family on Saturday. We're having 48 people. Some cousins of ours are coming from Ohio and New York. Actually, three of our own children of the eight won't even be there, and we still haven't 48 people. It's going to be a great time. But with the backdrop of all that, I remember Mark, I talked to yesterday at length over the internet, and we had a good conversation about a lot of things, including the trip you heard about today. And he asked me a question that I often get. He said, "How are you doing with Uncle Larry's death?" And I said, "I don't know how to answer that, Mark. I just keep on going. And I'm not sure how I'm supposed to be doing. I remember after 9 days in the hospice and most of a year with my brother, watching him very slowly die, that when he finally had breathed his last and he was there on the bed and obviously with no life in him, that I wasn't sure how I was supposed to act. I didn't cry. I just kept on going. Not that I haven't had moments of tears. But today, and this is how God can work, just through family ties. Today, when this last song came up, Restoration, I turned around and I thought, you know, we sang that at Anne Marie and Aaron's wedding. And then Timothy started singing it very quietly, and not too many were singing along until he got into it a little bit. And then I heard Aaron singing it. And so I was thinking about this song with reference to the Walneys, but God was thinking about this song with reference to me. Because, and I'm going to try to stay composed, but as we thought about bringing restoration, you've taken my pain and you called me by a new name. You take my mourning and turn it into dancing. You take my weeping and turn it into laughing. So for whatever reason, during this song, I really started missing my brother. And I'm supposed to be preaching about family today. So God brought it right home for me. Some of you have lost loved ones. Family matters. So I was just overwhelmed today during that song, and I really began to hurt. And it's okay. It's part of it. I just wanted you to know that's what's going on in me. We're going to get into the message, but I think it's good for us to mourn. And there's no right or wrong time, it seems. And I have mourned to some extent. But for whatever reason, here we are months later, and this song, and during that song, I just really was overwhelmed by thoughts that my brother's not here anymore and how close we became and how much I really miss him. And family matters. The home matters. It's more than a sweet home. It's God's design. So as I thought about what to focus on, I, of course, went through Proverbs, and I came up with many passages, which you're going to hear this morning. You may want to, like I've suggested before, you might want to just, I'll try to give the references as I read them. I've sort of organized them into sections. But as I was thinking about what to preach relative to the home and the family, on the heels of having looked at parenting and started with the family last week, I thought of a song. And it doesn't have anything to do with this topic, but the song that came to my mind was, "Let's start at the very beginning, a very good place to start." And, of course, that's do, re, mi in learning how to sing, as Maria taught the children of Captain Von Trapp in Sound of Music. But it's a catchy song, and it led me, as it came into my mind, to say, let's do that with family. Let's start at the very beginning, a very good place to start. And you heard it today. the book of Genesis, the second telling of the creation story, the one that focuses particularly in more detail on the creation of man and the creation of woman and the beginning of the first family. And that's what we saw in the lesson today. So we have, I noticed something else. This is something I just have to tell you. I love to see things in Scripture. Here I am, this old guy, I'm getting older, and I've been at this most of my adult life, and yet I see things I've never seen before. Or you might argue I saw before and I've forgotten, but I think this is one I never saw before. As I was reading this, it says, now no shrub of the field was yet in the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprouted, for the Lord God had not sent rain upon the earth. Well, I went back to the first story of creation. It was on the third day that God created the vegetation, and it wasn't until the sixth day that he created man and woman. So how can we here in this retelling of the story say that there wasn't yet any shrubs? It could be that all the days are not delineated here, or there's a kind of a neat analogy. Let's say, and I'm not making a theological statement here. This is one of those places where my mind just wanders and I let you look in and you can do with it what you want. But it occurred to me that the shrubs were there, but they hadn't sprouted yet. And what made the difference in the sprouting? The rain. And how did God create man? By taking the moisture, the rain, the mist, and forming mud and breathing into that the breath of life. So it's almost like the earth was a type for the creation of man. The shrubs needed that watering, and man needs that breathing, that watering. That dry dust couldn't be made into that lump of clay that became a man. And we have clay feet today. But this is just one little aspect of this that I found interesting. But of course, we then get into the creation of man and then the creation of his partner. And that's where the family part comes in. Now here's a lot of times, you know, I like to see what Scripture says by seeing what it didn't say. What didn't happen was God didn't say, Adam, could you please submit to me your design and your plan for a helper suitable for you, and I'll go ahead and try to get somebody. You know, this wasn't a job application. This wasn't Adam the boss giving God the order for a helpmate. As a matter of fact, just like Abraham did, as we were reminded in Sunday school today, when God cut the covenant with him, he was asleep. And what happened when God made woman? Man was asleep. He had nothing to do with it. It's not his design. It wasn't even his idea. It was God's design. So as we're looking at the home, and as parents, and as families, we're looking at God's design. It's not something we designed, nor should we be redesigning. We should be submitting to God's order and living within the order he created. I sometimes remark about people that they're a real piece of work. That's an expression I heard one time. I say, boy, he's a piece of work or she's a piece of work. Well, you know, my wife, is Joyce in the hall here? She should be here for this message. Oh, good, I can say anything I want. she's a piece of work. But it's God's work. God fashioned, listen to how he did it. God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and as he slept, He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. And that was the beginning of the male-female relationship that God had designed, which procreates all of us. We grew out of a male-female relationship. And that's God's design for humanity. So it's the first institution. Why should it be any surprise to us that Proverbs has a lot to say about men, women, marriage, and home, and house? When Proverbs refers to a house, it's usually referring to a home. Now, I also notice something else in this passage. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife. Notice what Moses did, who wrote these original books. Excuse me. Moses went on. You see, Adam and Eve, their father was in heaven. They were created uniquely as the first two people. So they didn't have a father and mother. But they became a father and mother. And their children needed to not cleave to needed to leave father and mother and cleave to their wives. And so we see not only did God create the unit of the family, but he created the moving through the generations of the family so that there's a continuation of that creation. So let's hasten on now and, excuse me, we'll look at... We'll look at, first, I want to look at some Proverbs that talk about the home. There's a lot in here, but I want to give you a lot today, and I'll do it quickly. These are a few Proverbs that just talk in general about what creates the foundation of a good home. This is in Proverbs 5:18-19. This is a foundation, a good foundation for marriage, and what needs to be at the hallmark of it. Let your fountain, this is in Proverbs 5:18-19. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, be exhilarated always with her love. And then in Proverbs 30:18-19. I don't take these in order. Proverbs is very random. The three things are beyond me, four I can't understand. It's kind of cool in Proverbs how you run into that a lot. Three things are a mystery, four that I don't understand or whatever. What are those four? The way of an eagle in the sky. I spotted an eagle when we were over at Malachi's birthday. I think it was one of the kids' birthdays, flying over Washington Borough. It was a thrill just to see an eagle flying overhead. The way of a snake on a rock. That's a different kind of thrill. But it's still God's creation. The way of a ship at sea. And the way of a man with a young woman. These are some of the mysteries that are beyond us in life. Proverbs 15:17. These are interesting comparisons. These are contrasts. Better is a dish of vegetables where love is than a fattened ox served with hatred. Yeah, I guess I'd take the vegetables. No, I love meat, but veggies are good too. But isn't that interesting? Love and hatred. We want love. That's pretty obvious. Proverbs 17:1. Better is a dry morsel and quietness with it than a house full of feasting with strife. I heard somebody in a pastor's group I'm in recommend that we put a moratorium on political conversations this Thanksgiving. Let's not talk about it anymore. We had years of it. We don't need strife. I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm just saying there's a proverb that says you're better to have a dry morsel of food with quietness than a big feast with hatred. Pretty obvious, but they're good principles. Or with strife, not hatred in this case. Here's one, Proverbs 24, 3 to 4. This is really a full one. Proverbs 24, 3 to 4. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So there's three things that are so frequently mentioned in Proverbs: wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And they help build a house, a home. Proverbs 11, 29 to 30. Whoever brings trouble to his family will be left with nothing but the wind. A fool will be a servant to the wise. A good person gives life to others. A wise person teaches others how to live. So whether we're living faithfully in our walk with God in the areas of wisdom, understanding, knowledge, love, quietness, all those godly things, they actually not only affect us, they affect the people with whom we live and work and play, and certainly in our homes. And there's a warning. We're going to look at some positive things about men and women in a minute in marriage. And as we're looking at the home in general, there's one proverb gives a warning. It's Proverbs 17, 13. He who returns evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. Now that could have said from his heart, and that's probably true. But this proverb says it won't even depart from his house. Wow. There's something to think about. Now, I want to move on to looking at the roles of men and women, husbands and wives. And in here, why are we doing this? Just so I have an opportunity to show you how much I studied Proverbs? No. So that you can look at some of these principles and say, how am I doing with these in my life, in my family, in my heart, in my home, in my relationship, in my conduct as a man or as a woman? There's a lot here. Relative to a man, there's Proverbs 24:5. A wise man is full of strength, and a man of knowledge enhances his might. Pretty good. We're going to look at Proverbs 31 in a minute. That's, of course, the classic chapter that talks about a godly woman. Godly wife, godly woman. But I'm going to quote a couple verses from there relative to a man. In Proverbs 31, 10 and 12, through 12, an excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. So there's something about that godliness that has to do with how men and women, husbands and wives, treat each other. And then there's some pretty strong warnings for men. I resemble some of these. Excuse me, my microphone is annoyingly vibrating or picking up my breath. Try it over here. These are some strong warnings about for men. For jealousy enrages a husband, and he will show no mercy when he takes revenge. So we need to avoid jealousy. Proverbs 15:18. A hot-tempered man stirs up conflict, but a man slow to anger calms strife. You know, the New Testament has a principle. He is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast. It's not the Old Testament. It's in one of the Old Testament, I think. And then in Proverbs 26:21. Proverbs is so full of these neat images, okay? Some of you might like this image if you're campers. John, you got a cabin. Nate goes up there. you ever build a fire up there? All right, here's one for you, or anybody else who's built fires. As charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. In this case, it's negative fire. It's the fire of strife. And if we are quarrelsome, another word for that's contentious, argumentative, hot-tempered, that stirs up strife. So those are some warnings to men. Now, I'd like to just read to you these verses from Proverbs 31. Gretchen Wagner, who was a very huge influence in my life, Jake's wife, I remember her telling me that she objected to this part of Proverbs because it was just portraying a traditional woman who's a homemaker, and Gretchen was a physician. She was a surgeon and later a physiatrist, and yet she gave up her medical career for years to rear her children who had illnesses. But in any case, she wasn't writing it off as the Bible. She was just saying that she isn't real big on Proverbs 31 because it's portraying a homemaker woman. But that's okay, because many women are homemakers. That doesn't preclude women who have careers and combine the two. But let's just see what this section says as we get into looking at women in Proverbs. You can't look at women in Proverbs and avoid Proverbs 31. It's hard, and you heard a couple of these verses already, but this is the New Christian, New Century version. It's in words that are a little more keeping with our common conversation. It's hard to find a good wife because she's worth more than rubies. Her husband trusts her completely. With her, he has everything he needs. She does him good and not harm as long as she lives. She looks for wool and flax and likes to work with her hands. She's like a trader's ship bringing food from far away. She gets up while it's still dark and prepares food for her family and feeds her servant girls. She inspects a field and buys it. With money she earns, she plants a vineyard. She does her work with energy, and her arms are strong. She knows that what she makes is good. Her lamp burns late at night. She makes thread with her hands and weaves her own cloth. She welcomes the poor and helps the needy. She does not worry about her family when it snows, because they have all fine clothes to keep them warm. She makes coverings for herself. Clothes are made of linen and other expensive material. Her husband is known at the city gate, where he makes decisions as one of the leaders of the land. Some versions say elders. She makes linen cloths and sells them and provides belts to the merchants. She is strong and is respected by the people. She looks forward to the future with joy. She speaks wise words and teaches others to be kind. She watches over her family and never wastes her time. Her children speak well of her. Her husband also praises her, saying, "There are many fine women, but you are far better than all of them." I would say so. How many of you want to volunteer for this job? How many of you fit this to a T? This is a high standard, which we can aspire to. But charm can fool you and beauty can trick you, but a woman who respects the Lord should be praised. Give her the reward she has earned. She should be praised in public for what she has done. Obviously, this is an ideal kind of goal for some of the qualities, all the way from being up at night to making clothes. You know, listen to that list. I hope what it does for us is appreciate this woman that God created and the uniqueness of the role of women and the uniqueness of relationships that women and men have together. So just some more verses now about women. Here's some positive ones. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. That's Proverbs 18:22. 19:14. House and wealth are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Two in a row that talk about a woman from the Lord. We saw how God made woman in a very special way. And then Proverbs 12:4, a wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. Now, the last section I'm approaching with some degree of trepidation. I don't want to be critical of women who have their plate full, and yet the Word of God does caution, like with men. And you notice I talked about men first. God does caution women about some pitfalls that they could fall into and could bring some strife and difficulty in relationships and in their lives. So here's just three proverbs with warnings, and they're similar. A foolish son, this is Proverbs 19:13, a foolish son is ruined to his father, and a wife's quarreling is a continual dripping of rain. Quarreling, again, contention, we heard that about the man. Proverbs 21:9, the next two, the last two, I love the illustrations here, the metaphors. Better to live on a corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Okay? That's funny. I think that's funny. I can be a quarrelsome man. If my kids would all vote, they'd probably, it'd be a draw, whether I'm more quarrelsome or Joyce is. But it's not a healthy way to be. And finally, it is better to live in a desert land than with a quarrelsome and fretful woman. So take your pick. Corner of the roof, the desert, or a quarrelsome woman. How about we have a non-quarrelsome woman? How about we have godly women like Proverbs 31 talks about? That makes for a healthy home, healthy hearts, healthy families. There's an area of Proverbs I'm not going to get into from the pulpit, and that's in the area of sexual sin. If you read in chapter 7 particularly, there's warnings against adultery, and there's also calls to healthy, intimate love. And that's a big part of it. It's a big part that Proverbs addresses. I'm not going to do that from here. I don't know what age children might happen to be here or whatever, but you know, I just want you to go on to know that Proverbs addresses that thoroughly. A healthy, intimate relationship is a part of a healthy home and a healthy marriage and a healthy family. And finally, here's the last point. Two proverbs that talk about staying together in relationships and not being isolated. 18:1, he who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. That's a warning against isolation. Well, you can't have a healthy family relationship if we're falling into isolation. And a lot of times, let's admit it, difficulties in relationships and families come when somebody's getting isolated, when somebody's pulling away. And there's another proverb about that, Proverbs 27:8. Like a bird that strays from its nest is a man who strays from his home. Home is where the heart is. Home, sweet home. Family. Relationships. Whatever the condition of our family, we're all called into relationship with one another. And I'm looking out here and I see a lot of men and a lot of women. And God made us different, but He made us unique. And in that, we find the blessing of God when we bring it into His order as He designed it to be. Father, I thank You for the message Proverbs gives us in so many areas of our lives, the areas of wisdom and the areas, practically speaking, of family and relationships and how we act and how we feel and what's in our heart and what's not. Lord, help us to be like You. And may we take these lessons from Proverbs and apply them to our lives for Your glory and honor. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen.
When I also think of family and the home, I think of the responsibility of of parents and how we should bring up our children. And so out of Deuteronomy, of course, we're supposed to pass on this message to our family. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads and write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates.
Amen. And you make a good point, Nancy. And last week I talked about children and parents. By the way, that reminds me to remind you that our messages go online. You can go to our website and listen to any messages you may have missed. So I encourage you to do that. Let's stand as we're dismissed and are blessed in our going. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make us perfect in every good work to do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. Go in peace, and the God of peace go with you.